This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, dedicated to increasing knowledge and engagement in the world's most critical issues. On April 24th, the Council is hosting a conversation with New York Times White House and National Security Correspondent David Sanger to discuss his latest book, New Cold Wars, China's Rise, Russia's Invasion, and America's Struggle to Defend the West. Registration for this event is available at globalaffairs.org/events.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
I'm Mary Dixon, and this is Reset, where we bring you the news and conversations that matter most in your day-to-day lives. I'm in the host chair for the rest of the week. 50 years ago today, this sentence, buried in a bulky education bill and written under a section labeled Title IX, was signed into law.
No person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex,
be excluded from participation in,
be denied the benefits of,
or be subjected to discrimination under any educational program or activity receiving federal financial assistance.
37 words. They didn't seem like that big of a deal when it was written in 1972, but they would go on to change everything. On the 50th anniversary of the passage of Title IX, we want to take a look at how far we've come and how far we still need to go. Later, we'll hear from someone who was part of the first generation of Title IX, but first, Elizabeth Tang is going to break down the law for us. She's the senior counsel at the National Women's Law Center. The Biden administration announced sweeping changes to Title IX protections. Can you tell us what the Biden administration is proposing and what we need to know?
Sure. The regulations were released this morning. They're a proposal, so they're not at the final stage yet. The public will have 60 days to comment, to give their feedback. But these proposed regulations are very much a step in the right direction. They would undo many of the harmful changes that were put in place by the Trump administration back in 2020. And really restore and strengthen protections against sexual harassment, as well as codify new protections for LGBTQI plus students.
They would extend protections to trans students as well, correct?
That's right. They would codify those protections. And I want to say that, we are still looking through the rule. It's a 700-page document. But so far from what we've seen, we do want to push the Biden administration to strengthen those protections for transgender students. They've indicated that there will be a separate rulemaking specifically regarding trans inclusion in athletics, and we want to make sure that those regulations are as strong as possible for trans students.
It has been 50 years since Title IX was passed. Can you talk about the impact this law has had for girls in schools?
Absolutely. Well, Title IX was passed as a very broad law to prohibit sex discrimination in schools that receive federal funding. So that would include all school districts, many private schools, if they receive federal funds in any way, all public colleges, most private colleges as well. And so there has been a lot of progress over the last 50 years for girls and women and LGBTQI plus students of all genders. And so we're, really celebrating that on the 50th anniversary. But we also recognize that there is a lot of work that remains to be done. We've seen significant backlash in recent years against advances in gender equity. And so this report, Title IX at 50, that we have published from the National Coalition for Women and Girls in Education, really dives deep into the various ways that sex discrimination, has been addressed over the last 50 years, but again, how much still remains to be done. And we've provided some really specific and concrete recommendations for policymakers at all levels, federal, state, and school officials, to do as much as they can to really fulfill the promise of Title IX.
A recent poll out this week finds that 2/3 of Americans know not much or nothing at all about Title IX. I am of an age where I was in that first wave of kids who, all of a sudden we had girls basketball and girls volleyball. What do you think about people not realizing that this wasn't always the case?
Yeah, absolutely. Title IX has made great strides, particularly in women and girls' participation in athletics. And athletics is still the thing that many people associate Title IX with. But I want to say two points about that. One is we still have a really long way to go with athletics. Girls in high school currently today receive more than 1 million fewer opportunities to play sports than high school boys. And at the college level, that's about 60,000 fewer athletic opportunities for women than men, again, in sports. And so there's still a great gap that needs to be closed for gender equity in athletics. And that's not even, including the inferior resources and equipment and coaching and publicity and other benefits that women and girls receive versus men and boys. And with athletics, I want to say that there's also the matter of inclusion of LGBTQI plus students, and that's very much a Title IX issue, too, and we've been seeing a lot of backlash in many states that have passed or introduced bans and restrictions against trans students. So that's one part is, that's one thing I would respond to about the perception around Title IX athletics. And the other thing I'll say is Title IX, touches on so many other things and, includes a prohibition on sexual harassment, which we see in the Biden regulations that were proposed today. It includes prohibitions against sex and race-based disciplines. We know that Black and brown girls and LGBTQI plus children are much more likely to be suspended and expelled because of their sex, and that's an issue. We also understand that Title IX provides protection for pregnant and parenting students against being pushed out of school and making sure that they have the accommodations that they need to learn and also to be pregnant and to parent their children, and many more. So there are so many other issues besides athletics that are covered by Title IX, and I definitely want to make sure that, folks listening today understand that and really learn as much as they can about what their rights are under this federal civil rights law.
And what does the fight to safeguard these protections and looking ahead to the next 50 years, what does that fight look like now?
Well, I would say, Title IX, again, was passed by Congress in 1972 with a very broad mandate, and I think, over the next 50 years, I'm hoping that we will continue to expand our understanding of what sex discrimination means and really strengthen protections across many areas for promoting gender equity in education. The understanding that folks had in 1972 is very different and much less advanced than what we understand today in 2022. And I'm hoping that, in 50 years from now, we'll have an even better understanding. The fight, includes both strengthening affirmative protections under Title IX, but it also includes defending against backlash. We see in any area of progress with respect to civil rights, anytime there's progress that is made, you see an immediate backlash. And of course, on one hand, backlash means that, it's working, that the message is getting out there. And backlash is, unfortunately very common. Folks who have been used to the status quo, who've been used to exerting their power and oppressing, certain marginalized communities are, afraid when they see that their power is being eroded and when they see equity actually being achieved. And so there's a lot of backlash right now, whether that is extremist so-called men's rights advocates pushing forth a very false and harmful narrative about, the false accusations of sexual harassment and assault and dating violence. We know that that sexual harassment reports of sexual harassment are, as credible as any other types of reports of harm and misconduct. But there is this prevailing myth, this rape myth, that women and girls tend to lie about sexual assault. And so we're seeing that backlash play out right now. And of course, it's certainly been exacerbated by the recent defamation trial between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And this growing misunderstanding that, survivors and victims are lying about the abuse that they face. So that's, one form of backlash that we have to be very vigilant against, that we have to fight against. And the other major one that, and there are many, but the other major one I want to emphasize again is this growing, the growing attacks, an unprecedented wave of attacks against LGBTQI plus students, particularly trans girls and women. And that's across all types of contexts, including in schools, but also in their access to healthcare, their ability to, stay with their families. That is, I think, another area that we're seeing a major backlash in. I want to make sure that, in the next 50 years, we continue to preserve and strengthen those rights.
That's Elizabeth Tang, Senior Counsel with the National Women's Law Center. Elizabeth, thanks for speaking with us. Now, we're going to turn to someone who was part of the first generation of Title IX. Melissa Isaacson is an assistant professor at Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University, a longtime sports reporter, and the author of the 2019 book State, A Team, A Triumph, A Transformation. So here it is, the 50th anniversary of Title IX. It is not specifically sports related, but it has played a big role in shaping sports programs in schools and, by extension, equal opportunities for girls and young women. And you were a longtime sports reporter, someone who played high school sports. What did those 37 little words of Title IX, what did they mean to you?
Oh, my. It meant absolutely everything. It literally, the reason I have the word transformation in the title of my book is because it really did change our lives in so many ways, not just in the moment, but the women we would become. I think, you know, little boys at a very young age back then and still are given a, you know, a bat and a ball and a glove and, more importantly, a uniform and a team to play on. And immediately, you know, learn life skills, learn how to be good teammates and learn, you know, teamwork and sacrificing and leadership and negotiating and strategizing and all kinds of things that not coincidentally, you know, help them in later years to become successful people, successful adults. And, you know, in the 70s, you can relate. I mean, we didn't have those kind of opportunities until Title IX. And so I, you know, I was a tomboy, but I became an athlete in high school. And those are two very, very different things.
And yeah. And up until the 70s, basically your option was to either play intramural sports or to be a cheerleader for the boys teams. So let's just, you've referred to this, but let's go back to 1975, Melissa. So a few years after Title IX was enacted into law, and you were a freshman in high school in Niles, and you wanted to play basketball. Did you know at the time that things had suddenly changed and you got to be on a school team?
I mean, I think that we were somewhat aware of it, but more, you know, all we knew was that we had a team to play on and that we suddenly had, you know, a state championship to play for. And but really, it was so basic. It was really just having our first uniforms, you know, as teenagers, which was incredible. And to be able to play in the same gym as the boys, which wasn't something that we had the opportunity to do in 75. We weren't able to play in what they called the boys' gym. It was the main gym in the school, practice or play. So when we were given that, you know, right to play in that gym with glass backboards and regulation courts, it was a huge deal. So, you know, we started out just being so appreciative for really, really basic things that boys had, you know, for so many years.
And can you tell us about your basketball coach, Arlene Mulder?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, she was she's really a hero of mine and, you know, was then, still is. She was someone who had a background in sports. She was very athletic. She was an AAU athlete in California. But she got to Niles West. They paid her very little, as most women and really all coaches back then. But she wasn't afraid to ask for help. She wasn't afraid to go to the boys coach at our school at the time and get his guidance. And he was generous to give that. But she also taught him about so many things, so many motivational skills. And she worked with the men at the school who didn't want us in the gym. And not coincidentally, she became one of the most successful local politicians, really in the country. She became a 5-term mayor of Arlington Heights, and to this day is one of the favorite politicians in the state. So she was a wonderful woman and really paved the way and was a hero of many of ours.
We know from your book and from people who lived around here in 1979 that you and Niles West won the state championship. You were one of the first girls team to do that in Illinois high school history. What did that feel like for you and your friends? And what did your community feed back to you?
Oh, wow. I mean, you talk about going from, you know, that freshman year of not being able to play in the big gym to 4 years later having that same gym packed, you know, standing room only crowds, wearing a uniform with our school name on it, which we didn't have at first, and having a parade through the township after we won. It gave us this feeling of anything was possible. And I think, you know, that was kind of the prevailing thing in 1979. If you would have said to us that in 50 years, 40 to 50 years from then, that we'd still be having some of these same discussions about, you know, what we don't have and how far we have to go, I think we would be profoundly disappointed, because we felt like we could all be president and we could all be the coach of the Bulls and we could be, you know, the GM and whatever we wanted. And so it was a magical time back then. But when you look back, it's sort of sad now that we're still talking about some of these same things.
So, Melissa, let's now look at today. And again, you referred to some of the disappointments compared to what you were expecting back in 1979. Do you think Title IX is as important today as it was 50 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. And Elizabeth touched on many of the things we're still, you know, looking toward. And, you know, it's absolutely a time to, if not celebrate, at least observe how, again, it changed my life and the lives of so many other girls and women with the opportunities we were given. But at the same time, we really, really need to look to all the same, you know, all the inequities that still exist. There's 34% of head coaches for women's teams in the NCAA are white women. Just 7% are women of color. Both those percentages are really alarming. Athletic directors, just 4% are women of color, 20% for white women. So, you know, there's fewer opportunities for students of color in high schools. There's only something like 40% of high schools that predominantly serve students of color have large opportunity gaps for girls in sports. Compliance, you know, is a real problem. There's not Title IX police running around. So everything from, you know, there's gross inequities across every division in terms of resources in women's athletic programs, well, dollars allocated.
Last year we saw the NCAA women's players, you know, showing, or 2 years ago, we saw pictures of what the women's tournament players were getting in terms of, you know, gyms and weights and food compared to the guys. And it was not equitable at all.
No, not at all. And I think that while a lot of people were shocked by that photo of that weight room that looked like, I don't know what, you know, just terrible, that if you would have asked women athletes across the country, they'd probably kind of shrug and be like, well, you know, I'm not shocked. Because while it's maybe good in some universities in Northwestern, certainly one of them, there's just a lot of problems across the country in terms of, you know, during COVID, there were just rash of programs, of women's programs being eliminated with the excuse that, well, you know, it's Title IX, you know, we have to, men's programs as well, you know, we have to equal the playing field, without the real understanding of what the real rules are. And so, the education of what is, you know, the lack of knowledge among educators about what Title IX is really one of the problems. And I think, you know, then you'll see more compliance, I hope, because it's really a far, far cry from where we should be.
And this fall, you are spearheading a 3-day event at Northwestern commemorating Title IX's anniversary. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, thanks so much. It will be October 27, 28, 29, 3 days of panel discussions and speeches and screenings and various events. We want to look ahead. We want to, you know, exactly what we're talking about today, that yes, let's look back. Let's kind of educate our students on where Title IX came from. Let's look at where we are now, but let's also look forward. And, you know, we have people from sports, from business, from we've got scholars coming in. We've got journalists. We've got Senator Evan Bayh, former senator, who's a son of the late Birch Bayh, one of the co-authors of Title IX, who will be joining us remotely. But we also have just a host of wonderful, really learned people to talk about, you know, what we're talking about today and shed some light on this, you know, unbelievable law, this wonderful law, and yet one that we need to really cling to and really make sure that we comply with.
Sure. Title IX opened some doors, and now we need to get the windows open, too. That's Melissa Isaacson, longtime sports writer for ESPN and the Chicago Tribune, assistant professor at Northwestern University, and the author of the book State, A Team, A Triumph, A Transformation. Melissa, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much.
That's it for today's Reset. Stick with this podcast to stay up to date on the week's other top stories. We drop a new episode every weekday afternoon, sometimes on the weekends, too. I'm Mary Dixon. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again tomorrow for WBEZ's weekly news recap.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.